my way back home, and I'm down on my bended knee, begging you to serve the sir of mine. Well, please forgive me, Jesus, and try me one more time. It's a wonderful to have a Savior who will forgive us from all of our sin. It's so good to know He will forgive us all over and over again. To sin, you know, is human, and to forgive is so divine. So please forgive me, Jesus, and try me one more time. But I've sinned against you, Lord. I'll admit that I've done wrong. Well, I'm just like the prodigal son, and I'm on my way back home. Said I'm down on my bended knee, begging you to save this soul of mine. So please forgive me, Jesus, and try me one more time. When I went astray from you, Jesus, I thought I was having fun. But you allowed me to come to myself, and now I am on the run. Just make me one of your servants. I am not worthy to be your child. So please forgive me, Jesus, and try me one more time. For I've sinned against you, Lord. I'll admit that I've done wrong. Well, I'm just like the prodigal son, and I'm on my way back home. Said I'm down on my bended knee, begging you to save a soul of mine. So please forgive me, Jesus, and try me one more time. When I went astray from you, Jesus, I thought I was having fun. But you allowed me to come to myself, and now I am on the run. Just make me one of your servants. I am not worthy to be your child. So please forgive me, Jesus, and try me one more time. You know I have sinned against you, Lord. I'll admit that I have done wrong. Well, I'm just like the prodigal son, and I'm on my way back home. Down on my bended knee, begging you to save this soul of mine. So please forgive me, Jesus, and try me one more time. Amen. It is all right, all right. It is all right. As long as I have my Lord beside me, it is all right. As long as I have His hand to hold, as long as He watches over my soul, as long as I am under His control, it is all right. Well, it is all right, all right. It is all right, as long as I have my Lord beside me, it is all right. As long as I have His hand to hold, as long as He watches over my soul, as long as I am under His control, it is all right. It is all right, all right. It is all right, all right. As long as I have my Lord beside me, it is all right. As long as I have His hand to hold, as long as He watches over my soul, as long as I am under His control, it is all right. I want to say good God morning to you, good God afternoon to you, depending on where you are tuning in throughout the continental United States, or over in Norway or overseas somewhere. This is thank you for tuning in to the worship service for the Golgotha Church of Christ. We are an online ministry having a marvelous time serving God, and you have tuned into our motto, Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. Forgive me as I'm getting some of the technology ready back, and I'm actually getting some things up, so I'm going to pull up another Facebook Live as well. But a If you're on conference calls today, or not conference calls, but if you call on World Talk Radio, call in to 619-924-0767, and you will be able to hear the broadcast, and we will be able to converse accordingly. We're so glad today, because this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Let us be excited about what God has done in our lives and what he will do in your life if you just trust in him. Oh, I'm a witness. I am a full-blown witness of what God will do with you, even in the midst of a fiery furnace. God will take nobody and make you somebody. He will change your career in the midst of your direction and have you shouting hallelujah all the way to heaven. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. You have to be elephant elated, you have to be peacock proud, and you've got to be high and happy. So we just are so excited today about who God is and what he does, because he does nothing small. He does nothing small. Everything God does is huge. It's big, and that's why he's awesome. He's so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that, if you would. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. So I just want to thank you, Lord, for you've been so good to me. I know you've been so mighty, mighty good. Tony, I know you've been so good to me, and I just want to thank you, Lord, for you are my friend, and I know you are my friend.
Without you, we are nothing without you. But with you, we can have the advantage.
With you, we can have the victory. With you, we can be an overachiever, more than conqueror. So, Father, we just come to you this morning, lifting up holy hands, thanking you the best we know how, for you are God who sits high and looks low. You are God who gives up everything. You are God that is, takes substance and place for us, Father. It is you who has given us our life. You have given us existence. And we need to worship you. Both in spirit and in truth. We just thank you this morning. Thank you for those souls that you're bringing to the line today. Thank you for those souls that are on Blog Talk Radio that listen across the sea. Thank you for those that will come through Facebook Live. Father, we just thank you for who you are and what you do. We ask you to continue to bless us in a mighty, powerful way. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' holy and divine name. Let us collectively say amen. Amen and amen once again. We are going to take communion, and then we will get to our text today. We know in 1 Corinthians, Acts 27, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread, and Paul continued teaching in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 30, said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he also took the cup after he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, did you show the Lord's death until he come. But let a man examine himself. He that eateth the bread, drinketh the cup unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many were sick and weakly among you, and many did sleep. Thank you, Father, for the bread, which is your broken body, and the cup, which is your shedding blood. We pray we take it with clean hands and pure heart, as we look to Jesus as author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' holy and divine name. Let us collectively say amen, amen. And that again. You may take of the bread and of the wine. Blessed indeed, my Savior believed, and did my soul render. Would he devote that sacred earth for such a worm as I? And at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart roll away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy of the day. Well, we're having problems with Facebook Live, so we're going to do it on Blog Talk, and we'll figure that out at a later date. We're just so enamored today. We're so excited because we don't have time. We're playing with technology. It's time to worship our God. And God is an awesome God. I don't know about you, but the more I think about what he's done for me and what he does with me and what he will continue to do through me is just an awesome, awesome, awesome opportunity. And so... we just want to lift up holy hands today. We want to shout in exuberation for what God does. Because as you see on a poster that we put out on Golgotha this morning, as water reflects the face, so does one's life reflect the heart. As water reflects the face, so does one's life reflect the heart. We want to take a look at the fact that anxiety is an emotion that is characterized by feelings of tension. And how we handle tension and how we handle release will really demonstrate to a world of unbelievers who we serve and whose identity. So when you get caught up in worried thoughts, and the worried thoughts become physical changes to increase your blood pressure or make you more sick or just take you to a state where you cannot handle it. Your body is now starting to tell you, man, you're going through a few changes. And it's only because you have not learned how to deal with the anxiety or the stress that comes with what it is you're dealing with. Every position, everything we do has a level of stress or a level of difficulty and risk that is attached to it. And the higher you go, the more risk you have, the more difficulty you have, the more scrutiny you have. And so it's a blessing to be able to have a relationship with God, because God can calm you in the midst of a storm. When everything looks chaotic and it looks like it's turning around and it's tornadic in your life, God will give you peace and place you in the eye of the tornado, where it's the quietest spot, and you can ride in that tornado with grace and mercy. Oh, amen, somebody. So I want to ask you today, how are you handling your stress? How are you handling the anxiety moments of your life? Let's turn to Isaiah 41 for our test today. Isaiah chapter 41. And we're going to commence, we're going to find what we're looking for in verse number 10. Now, I will be reading from the Holman's Standard Christian Bible today, but you can read from your translation. That will be fine, because many translations since 1905 are very good translations, so we don't have to get so much caught up in that. But the Lord is talking to his nation. And nations are wrapped up of people. And so, as we can see God preparing something, and this is 750 to 800 years before Christ sets foot on this earth, it has been prophesied. But we know that the Old Testament concealed is the New Testament revealed. And so God's mindset is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So we can see how God deals with things. We're more concerned about things to understand the mind of Christ as we deal with the interactions of things that we do even today. So I'm going to start reading in verse 1, and we're going to find what we're looking for in verse 10, and then we're going to pick up on a series of texts that's going to deal with anxiety. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41, beginning in verse 1, "Be silent before me, islands, let people renew their strength. Let them approach, then let them testify. Let us come together for the trial. Who has stirred him up from the east? He calls righteousness to his feet. The Lord hands nations over to him, and he subdues kings. He makes them like dust with his sword, like wind-driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them going on safely, hardly touching the path with his feet, who have performed and done this. Calling the generations from the beginning, Yahweh, I Yahweh, and the first and the last, I am he." You notice the semblance? A resemblance from the Old Testament even into the New Testament. God is the first and the last. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. And we need to make him the beginning and the ending of every hour, every nanosecond, and every moment of our day. Verse 5, the islands see and are afraid. The whole earth trembles. They approach and arrive. Each one helps the other and says to another, take courage. The craftsman encourages the metal worker. The one who flattens with the hammer supports the one who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, it is good. He fastens it with nails so that it will not fall over. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, I brought you from the ends of the earth and called you from its furthest corners. I said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Verse 10. Do not fear, for I am what? I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. What I want to do today, our aim today, is to help us to understand that in spite of whatever we go through, God is going to be there. You're going to need God's strength. You're going to need God's help. And you're going to need God to hold you in the palm of his hand. What scares you today? Why are you so fearful? If you know God is with you, even in the midst of the problem, what are you dealing with? Why is it that you can't stand? You get weak in the knees. Why is it that you cannot, that truth seems to belittle you? What is it about your stance, or what is it about how you carry yourself that people don't understand who you serve? We need to make sure that if God's not first, then we're really doomed in our journey. God must be driving. He will not sit in the back seat like driving Miss Daisy. God will be behind the wheel, rudering and moving you and directing you and guiding you. And it's our job to take his GPS system and follow his directions to the letter. When we take matters in our own hands, then we have a reason to be afraid because we can easily crash. But God is the best navigator there is, and he can navigate us around and through the pitfalls of life. So today, are you looking to be strengthened? Today, are you afraid? And you really need to reevaluate your relationship with God. Today, are you looking for help from God? I want you to know that God says, I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will hold on to you. God said, I won't let you go. I have a hold of you, and that I will lift you up at the place where you feel that you are not worthy. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We find a lot of things in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. And we find a lot of good golden nuggets in there that we're able to extract. But here to the church of Philippi, Paul wanted to let them know how appreciated he was, because they looked out for him even when he really didn't need it. He had got himself somewhere together, he was going fine, but yet they did not stop. They kept him in prayer, and they considered to send help his way, and he was just overjoyed, and he was glad because of such. Paul tells us in Philippians 4, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. What does worry do? Worry really weakens you. Worry, from a psychological standpoint, wrinkles you. Worry will take you to a point where you will have health problems, and you won't know how you got them. Why? Worry will have you scratch your head, and all of a sudden you will have a bald spot in an area you didn't know that you had. Worry is a difficult, diabolical thing, because worry is not of God. Worry is of Satan. Worry is centered in fear. It's centered in the unknown. And because I can't control the unknown, I must be scared. We need to understand that God says faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. And it's the blessing of being able to follow God and keep your eye on God. Is that you don't have to see the journey, but you have to see God. And when you see God, you know that God will help you walk and help you move in directions that you normally would not walk out of. Remember Peter, as he was out there on the water, and he thought a ghost that came up to him, and he realized it was the Lord. And so he said, "Lord, suffer me to come to you." And Peter, knowing that he can't walk on water, but he wanted to be with the Lord, Lord said, "Come on out here, boy." And so Peter, paraphrasing that word, set down on faith, got his eyes centered on Jesus, and he's walking. He's walking strong to the Lord. But all of a sudden, the human side of him kicked in. He started looking at the wind. He started seeing what was going on. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and that's when he began to sink. And then he said the shortest prayer that you could ever say before you could say, "Go," is, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached down and grabbed hold of him. Do you know that if we keep our eyes on God, we can walk on water? If we keep our eyes on God, we can climb many mountains. If we keep our eyes on God, God will be our support system. He is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So God is up under you, holding you up. But once you start to calculate and evaluate what it is that you believe that you should be able to do, you will never be able to be a success in God's kingdom, because it's not about you and it's not about your ability. It's about God and what God has for you. So I hope, trust, and pray that even on this day, if you really want to give God glory, you really want to give God honor, you really want to give God everything that you are, the best thing for you to do is to step out on faith. Because when you think about substance, and the text says faith is the substance of things hoped for, that's a two-part word, sub and stance. Sub is what is below, and stance is what is the foundation that you find yourself planting upon. So if you are a Christian or you believe in God and you follow God's principles, then you stand for what God stands for. And what God don't stand for, you don't lean towards. Amen, somebody. You cannot buddy with the devil and expect God to be pleased with that. Man cannot serve two masters. You must serve God. And so as we look at how that deals with our psychological being, that we have issues from time to time trying to figure out in the psyche that how it is that we're able to lean one way or another. We need to lean in the direction that the Holy Spirit, the comforter that God has given us, we need to lean with him. But he will testify and always move us in a place and a direction that is pleasing to God. Even if you have to take a stance all by yourself, you're not alone, because God says, "I'll be with you and I will help you." So he says in the sixth verse of the fourth chapter of Philippians, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything." Sometimes we worry about everything and we get nothing done. But he says, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, the peace of God will guard your heart. The peace of God will guard your mind in Jesus Christ." See, my Moses, the late Dr. Cardio Harper said, "Worry You keep going back and forth. You ever been in a rocking chair? You keep going back and forth, but you ain't going nowhere. Or you may be entertaining yourself. You may be trying to get yourself to sleep. You're going up and down and rolling around and around, but you're not moving forward. You're staying in the same place. Many times our life is just like that because we have a worried faith. We have a stagnant faith because our faith is not based and we're not built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. So we need to make sure, and his righteousness, we need to make sure that we stand for what is right. Remember Philippians 4:13, I can do what? I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So if I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me, why would I not want to be strengthened? Do you enjoy being weak? Do you enjoy being neutralized? Do you enjoy not having the ability to really do the thing that you need to do? I'm here to tell you that God is an on-time God. And God loves you so much that he wants to see you strengthened. Now, if you think about how you gain more strength, if you're into weightlifting or if you're into running, you have to put on more weight. You have to put on more incline. You have to put on more difficulty in order for you to get stronger, in order for you to last longer, in order for you to be able to climb that mountain. If all you did is a runner is run on flat surface, when it comes time for a hill, you was in trouble. But if you learn how to run on an incline and you learn how to get out and run on hills, then all of a sudden, no matter what terrain you're on, you're all good. If you start running on hills and then you're just running flat, you're good because you've taken the difficulty. As you work on the rocky road, so that the less is always easier. But to take the less and to get faced with the rocky road is much difficult. So greater is the difficult side. So I want you to understand your faith today, that God tries and tests you with so that you will understand how important it is. It's predicated and based on the fact that God loves you. And he wants you to understand that without him, you can do nothing. He wants you to understand that in today's society, that you need to put on more difficulty. You need to challenge yourself. You need to get out of your comfort zone. See, if all you do is see the people that you see every day and every week, then you are not doing anything. What you need to do is get outside of your comfort zone. Get out where the people are at. Jesus amongst the people. And you know that there's people out there that want Jesus and can't wait to hear about Jesus. And the only person God has sent in their circle is you. Don't be like Jonah and try to run to Tarshish. God needs you in Nineveh. He needs you on the front line. Step up, soldier, and get ready for the battle. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. That means it's not based off of me. It's not based off of my strength. It's not based off of my ingenuity, but it's based off of what God has done with me and what God will do for me. Turn with me over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we'll take a look at verse number 27. John chapter 14, verse number 27. John 14, verse number 27, the Bible says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Okay, now we're understanding in your Bible, if you have read lettering, that this is Jesus speaking. So in order for you to have peace, in order for you to have serenity, in order for you to have a comfort or a calmness, you have to get it from God. God is the peacemaker. Remember in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What that literally means is that we're in a world of peacebreakers. But a peacemaker is someone that positions himself between two defining parties and becomes a bridge between the two parties to call out the confusion and bring silence and agreement between the two. You are an advocate. You are a middleman. And so that's what it means to be a peace a maker. Are you willing to stand in the gap for Jesus today? Are you willing to let someone who does not know God and the pardon of their sins really get an opportunity to understand who he is and be able to see an example of a masterpiece in front of them through your life because of who God is? You need Jesus more than you need physical food. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Now notice what he says. I do not give to you as the world gives. Oh, so there is a worldly peace or a worldly understanding of what peace is. It may come with firearms. It may come with different kind of treaties. But there's also a peace that surpasses understanding. So he says, I don't give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled, and your heart must not be fearful. When God gives you peace, you are able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Why? Because God is with you. The word peace comes from the Hebrew word shalom. The Hebrew word shalom, we see in the Old Testament, Salem. Now you start to see why God put everything in Jerusalem, because that was where he was going to establish his church on the first day of the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and all the Old Testament pointed to it. And we know that he did do exactly that. And now all the world points back to what he did on yonder's cross, hanging there on Golgotha Hill. Substitutionary place for you and I, atonement for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And so, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Will you take God's peace today? He says, I do not give to you as the world gives. He says, your heart must not be troubled. And your heart must not be fearful. We look for peace when there's trouble. But do you look for peace when you're being peaceful? Do you look for your peace to be continual? Oh, living a Christian life can be peaceful. Oh, what are you saying? The Bible says, I will suffer persecution. Have you ever had anyone tell you, man, you've done something in your life and you look so much younger than what your age is? Because God underlyingly is taking care of you. There is a level of stress, of worldly stress, you don't have to deal with, because God's taking care of your sin problem, past, present, and future. So all you have to do is just continue to live faithful unto death. Deal with the challenges and the obstacles that come with that. And continue to build on your faith and continue to work on your character. Amen, somebody. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to take a look at verse number 7. First Peter chapter 5. Well, let's start at verse 6. Humble yourselves. Uh-oh. Oh, there's that word, humble. Break it down. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. If you don't humble yourself, do you need God to slap you, to bring you down? But if you do it on your own, God's pleased, because he doesn't want a robot. He doesn't want to force you. He wants you to naturally understand who he is and serve him accordingly. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time. The more humble you are, the more God will open the door. Well, I know I'm right about that. Folks will close the door. But there are people out there that need to hear your word. I need to hear and see an example. Oh, sure, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He messes up a lot of things, but he cannot be victorious. But we are more than conquerors. Use the avenues and the influence God has given you to bless somebody, even on this day. And watch God bless you. Pour out a blessing to you that you can't even contain. And give you peace that surpasses all understanding. When even the ones near and dear to you don't understand and are falling apart. Casting all your care on him. Casting all your care on him. Casting all your care on him. Why would I put my troubles on Jesus? Because he cares for you. God cares about you. He loves you so much that he wants you to bow. Fight your battles, not with your pistol. Fight your battles, not with your pitchfork. Fight your battles not with your cursing and cutting tongue, but fight your battles on your knees praying to God. And let Big Brother Jesus handle the battle. Oh, he's able. Oh, he's able. He's able to do above and abundantly above all that we ask and or think. Couple more, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Scriptures are so good that I want to make sure that we just take a look at them. And you go back and study them. But they will help you throughout the course of this week. They will help you when you start to feel weak. When you're in the midst of your run, or you're in the midst of your marathon. Take Jesus with you. For Jesus is better than anyone's American Express card. Don't leave home without it. As we look at Paul talking to Corinth, and he's really talking about sufficient grace. Well, let's just read the 12th chapter. We're going to read from down to verse 10, because there's so much gravy here about sufficient grace. You want to be 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Boasting is necessary. It is not profitable. But it will move on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who was caught up into the third heaven 14 years ago, Paul says. Whether he was in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but God knows. He says, I know that this man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but God knows. He said, well, I know this man was caught up in the paradise. Paul says, that's what I do know. See, there's some things that you don't know. There's some people you don't know about, but there's some things that God does know. Amen, somebody. He heard inexpressible words, which a man is not allowed to speak. I will boast about this person, but not about myself, except in my weaknesses. For if I want to boast, I will not be a fool, because I will be telling the truth. But I will spare you so that no one can credit me. So someone beyond what he sees in me or hears from me, especially because of the extraordinary revelations. Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment me so that I would not exalt myself. Amen, somebody. Sometimes you have to carry this thorn in your flesh, which is a messenger from Satan, to keep you humble. Sometimes God has to allow Satan to stay near you so that you won't forget that God is God. Amen, somebody. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times to take it away from me. But he said to me, as he says to us today, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Now you know why you need to be strengthened, because you get your power in your weakness. Come on, somebody. Don't miss your shot today. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me. Lord, take my weaknesses, build me on my weaknesses, so I will be strong and complete in you. So I take pleasure in weaknesses. This is how we got to get y'all. I take pleasure in weaknesses. I take pleasure in insults. I take pleasure in catastrophes. I take pleasure in persecutions. I take pleasure in pressures because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can you say that about yourself? When you get weak, that you take pleasure in the Lord? Oh, stop fighting your battles. Let Jesus fight them. If Jesus fights your battle, you ain't got nothing to worry about. He hasn't lost not one case. And trust me, he ain't going to lose yours. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 94, and this lesson will be yours. Psalm 94, Israel's songbook, with a lot of great strength that David can then give us in Psalms. Psalms chapter 94. I'm going to commence at verse number 19. When I am filled with cares, it brings me joy. When I am filled with anxiety and worry, there's one thing I do know. I can find joy in the comfort of the Lord. Let me leave you with this. God's a just judge. He is always willing to be with you in your time of need. Are you willing to sacrifice and suffer for the cause of Christ? God loves you more than you would ever know, and God will continue to strengthen you in areas that you would not understand. It's invitation time. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly, for you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you need prayer, if you need strength, if you find yourself weak, if you need to rededicate your life to Christ, if you need baptism, Jesus says, come unto me. Whatever your needs are, Jesus is calling. If you need to be a member of the body of Christ, you live beneath your privileges, but you have not surrendered to God. There's a five-step plan for saving man. It comes by hearing God's word, Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, believing God's word, Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What's caused you to repent? Luke 13:3-5, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Turn to God, not turn away from God. Not turn past God, but turn to God and walk with God. Cause you to confess the sweetest name to ever roll off a mortal's tongue. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, he that confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he that denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can't be sprinkled, you can't be christened, you can't be drip-dropped, and it can't be poured upon. You must be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. You can't even be dry clean. You have to be buried in the watery grave of baptism. For water, for the baptismal is a grave, and it's a watery grave of baptism that you come in contact with the death of Jesus, and you also come in contact figuratively with the resurrection of Jesus. Romans 6:3-4, know ye not that so many as have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, so like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we all should walk in newness of life. Do you need that newness of life? Do you need that new walk? Jesus is calling on you. What will you do? And together we sing our song of invitation, and we open it up for any remarks of invitation at this time. We will take them in. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus, oh how I love, how I love. Calling your name, oh Jesus, Jesus, sweet Jesus, Jesus, every day, every day, every day, your name is the same. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, mighty, mighty Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, sweet, sweet Jesus. Jesus, every day, every day. Your name is the same. The line is now open for those for invitation. If you have anything on your heart at this time, you may voice it at this time.
This is Sister PV. I am asking for prayers, and first I want to say forgiveness for attitude and just misunderstanding, and ask God to forgive me for all my sins. And then secondly, I want to ask for prayers for my family. We will be traveling to Atlanta this weekend, leaving Thursday and Friday. I want to see my sister Alice and returning back on Monday and Tuesday. So keep us all in prayer. Quite a few of us going, so pray that we all have a great time. We're going to have a fundraiser for her campaign, presidential campaign. So keep us all in prayer.
Amen. Does anyone else have anything on the heart of the song?
Brother Peavy, this is your sister-in-law, Alice. Thank you, my sister. And I'm glad you're coming.
Hey, sis, how are you doing?
Fine. I'm so excited. I did invite one of the campaign fundraising manager on the line. She was on the line. I don't know if she's still on the line. Her name was Sherry, but she did turn in. Because I was actually running late to Brother Barclay, and I told her that, you know, my brother-in-law has service online. She says, okay, well, call me, and I want to tune in. So she was online. I don't know if she's still online, but I was glad that she, you know, was able to get online. So pray that through me that I can show her Christ and do that, that she will be able to believe in one faith, one baptism. So I was, you know, glad to be able to reach out to her. And, yes, please pray for my family. They are coming down, and I'm glad they're coming down. Pray for this campaign because we know that it is a rough campaign coming up. But I know that God is able, and whatever God has for me, and like I told people, that nobody can take that away. But pray for travel and grace for all of my family members that's coming down. Continue to keep me in prayer, my health and my strength. I go back again soon to be tested with breast cancer again. So just pray. I know God is going to see me through that. And I just ask for your prayer with that. Pray for my daughter, Rashonda, my niece, Juanita, my niece, Nicole, my sister, my brother-in-law, and just my whole family, and especially have a special prayer for D'Angelo and his situation, that only God will be able to see him through, and that he trusts God, and that he has learned the lesson, and that God will show him favor, and that we will see a breakthrough in his situation. Thank you.
Amen. Does anyone else at this time that has anything on their heart? All right, well, let's go to God in prayer at this time. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, we give you honor and praise today, thanking you the best we know how. Thanking you for doing what you do and loving us in the manner in which you do and helping us in avenues in which we know that we can't make it without you. Father, we love you. We adore you on this day, and we thank you for those that you have sent this way. Father, we're praying for the campaign of my sister-in-law, Alice, that she'll be with her and strengthen her as she continues to run a campaign. The blessing is even right now. The race that is really being run, the real campaign that's being ran, is for you. And so even today, she was able to have someone online to hear a portion of your word, which is able to save our soul. Father, help us not to focus on the temporary, but focus on the eternal. And that she will be an example, a guiding light to not only her, but to millions of people. Father, that you will bless her. And if it be your will and your way, that you will place her in the White House to be able to make decisions with you in mind. Father, we ask you just to be with her health and with her strength for the testing that and the other doctor's visits that she has. Praying for not only Sherry, who was on with us today, but praying for her family. She has her luau this weekend, Father. She's campaign fundraiser, and our family is going to be traveling there. So my wife, Marie, as well as she asked me for traveling grace for all those that will be hitting the dangerous roads, that you will navigate them according to their skills, but navigate them according to your skill around any pitfalls and any problems that may be there. Father, we're praying for Skirky. He asks you to be with him, and even if he gets tired, he's able to carry the wheel and take them back and forth. Ask you to bless them and keep them in the way that you stand in need of, be with that family, that they will enjoy themselves, that they will make an impact, and that it will open up other doors for fellowship and for sharing your word, as well as running right along with the campaign. Father, we ask you to be with D'Angelo today. Ask you to strengthen him and bless him in the way he stands in need of. Father, it's a very special prayer, and you can just hear the fervor in his mother's voice. That Father, you must intervene. You must tap him on the shoulder. You must grab a hold of him. That's your child, Father. We need you to grab him and to shake him up and let him understand that the life or the path that he's on it does not lead to eternal life, that it will be a temporary life, and that not to lose hope, Father, but to with you, we're able to cope with the situations of life, and that you have made him a victor if he does not hang his head but walks like royalty. Bless him and keep him, even in his situation. Praying for the process, Father. And we know that you already know when the end of the process will be, but we're just thankful for it, and we know that you use all things for recuperation. We're praying also for Rashonda, to be with Rashonda and the babies, with DJ, with Savannah. Bless them and keep them in the way they stand in need of. Praying that you continue to strengthen them accordingly. And everyone on the campaign, for sister-in-law Alice, I'm asking for a little extra TLC in their direction. Praying today also for my daughters Juanita and Nicole. I should bless them to keep them in the way that you know they readily stand in need of. For Skirky, Bill, for Paul, Felix, and Irv. I should just bless them and keep them. Be with Bill's wife as he is, as we know that he has passed on, Father, but passionate to be with Mary Floyd and Mary Walker, his mother, even during these times. Father, we're just praying for the family in general. I ask you to strengthen them and bless them. Praying for Mom Linda, praying for Angie and Lodasia, praying for Patrick, who was on with us last week, praying for Jazz and for her daughter. Continue to bless them, keep them away, stand in need of. Continue to keep them vibrant and keep leading him back to his centeredness. Father, continue to bless him and keep him accordingly. Father, we're praying for my wife and myself and ask you to be with her and strengthen her where she stands in need of. Father, and then bless her. Then this weekend as they'll be traveling. Father, we're praying just for vitality and health. And I want to say a special prayer today for Lisa Donnell, who's at Bowman Center at Rush Hospital. Father, she gets weaker and weaker dealing with cancer. She has been fighting it. Father, they've given her 24 hours, but you know when that is, and you've expanded that 24 hours by at least 72 already. I spoke to her yesterday, and she's doing fine. So, Father, we're just thankful that you're in charge and that man's in charge. And we know that whenever that time will come, that it will be according to your will, that she will continue to smile and light up the room and continue to be a blessing to those, to her niece that will be taking over her flower shop, and to others that will be taking over those duties. Father, we're asking you to continue to bless them, strengthen them in the way they stand in need of. Praying for Golgotha individually, collectively for the ministries, and Father, thank you for bringing my camera in, and we'll finally get that up and running, and hopefully be able to get Facebook Live and things going back in the manner in which it needs to be. Seem to have fried some of the systems, overloading with the things that we've had. But we thank you for the bandwidth that you've given us, and we ask you to continue to make us knowledgeable so that we don't operate in ignorance, but we operate in knowledge so we can be our best for you and be able to reach those that you would have for us to reach. Praying for those that are in Radio Land in Norway, about 40% in Norway and throughout the continental United States. Father, I ask you to bless them and keep them. For everyone that's standing in the pulpit today, we're praying that you will have them to make sure that they preach the unadulterated word, they don't add or subtract, and that they continue to stand strong on God. We love you. We adore you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let us collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. You guys have a wonderful day. Do something for somebody that they can't repay you for. Give them Jesus Christ and them crucified. And we're just going to rejoice on this day and continue to lift up holy hands. any other things that we need to be made aware of? Any comments, maybe about the lesson, or you think you had anything on your mind at this time, sis?
Well, I just wanted to say I enjoyed the message, and I like the fact with the water reflection of the faith. And one thing is, as long as we put God first, then we will never have nothing to worry about. And I'm learning each and every day, and I see my blessing when I put God first. So I just want to thank you for the message. And with me, I want to be able to be an example so that people will know who I am, and that when you're a light of God, that you should always be able to shine.
Amen. I want you to know you already are an example, and just continue to be one. Give God glory, and you'll be fine. Marie, any final comments?
No, the lesson itself was really excellent. I like the text that you utilized today from all your texts that we dealt with and dealing with. The first one that was really impressionable to me was Isaiah 41. I liked the message that was delivered there and dealing with, I think of our faith and our peace and just having that relationship with God. Then you went from there to Philippians 4 and dealing with the peace and dealing with that God gives peace. And we have to understand that in order for God to give us that peace, we have to have that faith and that trust in God to know that he will and continue to live the life that he would have for us to live, even through our trials and our tribulation. God is still with us. But I know that even then, he expects us to still hold on to God's unchanging hand. Put our little hand in his big hand when we think that he's so, when he's going through what we're going through and we're feeling afraid, we don't have that peace. That's when we allow God, or through our weakness, that we allow God to become strong for us. So I like that lesson, but thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. All right, would you guys do something for somebody today that can't repay you for giving Jesus Christ's name crucified? Bless somebody today, for God has blessed you, and we want to use our blessings as our cup runneth over. Captain Stern, we love you. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day. God bless.
Okay. Thank you.